Put yourself in Jonah's shoes. You know what you would be saying, what I would be saying. Lord, what in all the world are you doing? Yesterday you gave me this wonderful good gift. Today it's lying withered on the ground. You pour happiness into my life, now you take it away. The vine that you gave has gone as fast as it came. One day you pour in your blessing, the next day you take it away. What are you doing?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm David Pick. And Colin, don't we often put ourselves in Jonah's shoes? We look at the trials and problems that come our way and we think, what is God doing?
Oh, I think it's very easy to stand in Jonah's shoes. Every person who's been in the position of praying for a loved one who is sick and they get a bit better and you say, oh, God's answering prayer. And then they get worse and they take a turn and you say, what in the world is happening? And that's where Jonah was. He receives a blessing and then it gets taken away. And what in the world is God doing?
So we'll try to answer that question in today's program. So join us if you can in Jonah 4 as we begin the message, rejoicing God's gifts as though they were rights. Here's Colin.
Please have your Bible open at Jonah and chapter 4. We're going to follow these verses fairly closely today. And we're seeing that the book of Jonah is about the unraveling of a mature believer's inner life. We're also discovering the marvelous faithfulness of God, that when the wheels come off, as it were, God does not abandon his own children. He is faithful to his own. Jonah is really opening up what happened in his life. He wants us to know that underneath his fine reputation, there was really a divided heart. And that while God used him in remarkable ways, he spent much of his life actually avoiding the God he set out to serve. And as we've moved into chapter 4, we've found the surprising truth that although God used Jonah in such a remarkable way to transform a city through his ministry, after that great revival experience, Jonah is not full of joy, but rather he is angry and he is frustrated. And it might be helpful for us just to think of it this way, that actually God does a double restoration in Jonah's life. Most people know about the first restoration, when he's thrown into the water and God saves him by sending this fish. But there's another restoration that is every bit as important in the book, because Jonah's problem was not just the rebellion of disobedience that you have at the beginning when he goes off to Tarshish. It's the hidden anger and resentment that is bubbling under in his heart and in his life. And God delivers him from that and restores him from that in chapter 4. That is every bit as important as the restoration that took place in chapter 1. And so that's where we've come today, and we're taking it up in chapter 4 and verse 5, where after this experience of being used by God in Nineveh and the frustration and anger that Jonah was experiencing in the wake of it, we read that Jonah went out and he sat down at a place east of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and he sat in its shade and he waited to see what would happen to the city. Now let's try and put ourselves in Jonah's shoes. You're in the desert, you're on your own, it's a hot day, you're sitting in the sand looking at a city you really don't like. You're feeling miserable, you've got some resentment that's going on, and you are not happy about life. The sun is beating down on your head, it's a sweltering hot day, and you think, I really need to make myself a shelter. But you're out in the desert, so there isn't much to make a shelter with, you know, a few pieces of brick perhaps, or clay, some stones that are around, nothing very much that is living or growing. And so you make yourself a little baked clay shelter, and there you sit, absolutely miserable. And then God steps in verse 6. And we have this wonderful expression of the kindness of God. The Lord God provided a vine, this living plant full of green foliage, and he made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. Now, for you gardeners, you need to know Miracle-Gro never had anything on this. This was a miracle plant. In the desert, God just causes it to grow. I'm thinking in my mind of where you have one of these high-speed cameras that, you know, planet Earth type programs can show you the growth of a plant in a few seconds. We can give that appearance on a high speed camera. Well, God gave that reality by a miracle of his grace. And he did it for the simple reason. Jonah was really uncomfortable. He's there with nothing more than a baked clay shelter. And God provides this vine, we're told in verse 6, to cover, to give shade for Jonah's head and to ease his discomfort. It's a wonderful expression of the kindness of God. And as God gives this very simple and very wonderful good gift into Jonah's life, we read in verse 6 that Jonah was very happy about the vine. And I can imagine Jonah looking at his old baked clay shelter and then looking at this mass of green foliage that has come up overnight, and he's saying to himself, my God's shelter is sure better than mine. God's gift then of the vine brought joy, it brought comfort, it brought blessing into Jonah's life at this particularly difficult time. And he was very happy about the vine. Now, here's the question. I think you'll find it easy to make the connection with the message this morning. What is your vine? What in your life brings joy, comfort, blessing? What in your life is a gift from God that you would say, that's my vine? It just has brought blessing into my life. I think of my own life. I think of my wife. I think of my children. I think of my home. I think of the privilege of being part of this church. I think of the joy of fulfilling work. The list goes on and on and on. What's your vine? God is good. And into every life, he brings good gifts that bring you joy that you would not have if it was not for that gift. Think about this with me. What is your vine that brings joy, that brings blessing, that brings comfort, that makes your life in this world so much better than it would be if it was not for this gracious gift of God in his abundant kindness? Valentine's Day is coming up. So for the guys who are looking for a good line to write in a card to your wife, you could just say, you are my vine. You are the gift of God to me. You bring me blessing. You bring me joy. My life is so rich because of you, and I thank God for you, and I love you. And ladies, you might even consider saying that in regard to your husband. What else is your vine? Friends. You have a business that has been blessed. Do others speak well of you? You have enough money to spend some on your pleasure? Thank God for the vine.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we have to pause the message briefly there, but we'll be back very shortly. The message is called Rejoice in God's Gifts as Though They Were Rights, and it's part of our series, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. If you ever miss one of the messages in the series, you can easily catch up or go back and listen again by coming online to our website, openthebible.org.uk. And you can also find Pastor Colin's messages as a podcast, and those are on all the usual podcast sites. You can find Open the Bible there by searching for Open the Bible UK. Open the Bible is supported financially by our listeners. It's donations from people just like you which keeps Open the Bible on the air and on the internet. So if you already give to support the work, thank you so much. If that's something you've been thinking of doing, either with a one-off gift or as a regular donation, we'd love to say thank you by offering you a free gift. Here's Open the Bible's Amanda Cunningham to tell us about it.
I don't know about you, David, but I cannot walk into a shop at the moment without being reminded that it is Valentine's season. Cards, chocolates, and love. However, I've been really struck this month by a deeper, better love, the kind we see in the Gospels. Here at Open the Bible UK, we're reading Gospel Stories by Andrew Wilson, and I found it such a helpful book. In the Gospels, Jesus often teaches through stories and real encounters. So Andrew Wilson helps you slow down and really see what those moments reveal about who Jesus is, why he came, and the kind of love that he offers. A love that pursues us, forgives us, restores us, and never lets go. I think it's a wonderful book to use in your own quiet time or to share with a friend or even to read in a small group. And especially this February, it's been a reminder to me that the truest love isn't something we achieve or buy, it's something we receive in Christ. Gospel Stories is our free thank you gift when you give a one-off donation of at least £50 or when you set up a new direct debit of just £5 a month. But please do remember to include your name and address when you donate so we can send your copy out to you.
So that offer is available all this month, and you can find full terms and conditions, and you can give online at our website, openthebible.org.uk. And again, if you give through the website, please remember to give your full name and address so we can send you your gift. Back to the message now. Here again is Colin.
Now, notice the next thing that happens in verse 7, because no sooner has God poured in this wonderful good gift into Jonah's life, but verse 7, something else happens. The worm. At dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Now, can you imagine this? Jonah has been enjoying the cool shade of God's vine, the blessing of God in his life, and he wakes up the next day and he thinks, oh, this is good, life is good, another day rejoicing in the cool shade of God's vine, and he looks around as he wakens himself up, and there's the vine lying withered, limp on the sand. The worm has come and has chewed up the vine. Now, put yourself in Jonah's shoes. You know what you would be saying, what I would be saying? Lord, what in all the world are you doing? Yesterday you gave me this wonderful good gift. Today it's lying withered on the ground. You pour happiness into my life, now you take it away. The vine that you gave has gone as fast as it came. One day you pour in your blessing, the next day you take it away. What are you doing? Now, there's a pattern here. The vine brings joy, comfort, and blessing into Jonah's life. And we are all able to think of the good gifts of God that bring blessing and joy to us. But the worm brings sorrow, loss, and disappointment into Jonah's life. So, obvious question, what is your worm? What is going on in your life right now that brings you sorrow, that brings you loss, that brings you disappointment? And all of us will be able to identify not only the vine, but also in our experience, the worm. You build a business, and it's a great blessing, but as times change, it becomes a burden rather than a blessing. Your ministry sees evangelistic success. God blesses it in an amazing way, and then something happens, and it seems that all the good work that you have been doing seems undone. You devote your life as a mother to children in the home, and you pour yourself into them, and then they're off at college, and the home is quiet and empty, and the vine that has brought such blessing and joy into your life is no longer there, and you say, what's my life for? By the way, isn't this a helpful way of thinking about what's going on in our economy? Think of it. God sends a bull market, and we all rejoice in the vine. God sends a bear market, and we all complain about the worm. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. And that's what Jonah is learning here, and it is painful stuff. By the way, it's also a helpful way of thinking about times when you may fail or fall into sin as a Christian believer. You know, let's think about a guy who's been struggling with one particular temptation, failed again and again and again. And then in God's mercy, through some prayer and some help and through some accountability, begins to get victory. And he goes for some time, he's victory. And he's rejoicing in the victory, his blessing and comfort. It's his victory becomes his vine. Lord, this is great. I've never been here before. And then something happens and suddenly he's back where he was. He's fallen into his old sin one more time. The worm has come. He says, oh, Lord, you've taken away the very thing that you just gave me, the victory that was such a joy to me. What is going on? Now, this vine-worm pattern is repeated in 1,000 ways in every human experience. And then I want you to notice something else, because it gets worse. Verse 8, the wind. When the sun rose, so this is the same day as the vine was chewed up by the worm. Now the sun's coming up, and we're told when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Now, again, try and put yourself in Jonah's shoes. It's bad enough to lose the vine. But now, on the same day as the vine is chewed up, God now sends this east wind. So the sand's blowing into Jonah's face. The sun is beating down on his head. Jonah's thinking, Lord, if you're going to take away my vine, at least take it away on a cool day. But now you've taken away the vine and you send a scorching east wind. Have you discovered troubles never come singly? And when one thing happens that brings disappointment and pain and loss into your life, so often there is something else that brings aggravation and makes it even worse. So the vine brings comfort and it brings joy and it brings blessing. The worm brings sorrow and loss and disappointment. And the wind makes it worse by adding affliction and pain and distress. So, obvious question, what is your east wind? What, as you look at your life right now, is bringing to you a sense of affliction? What brings you pain? What brings you distress? Now, let's stand back from this vine worm wind pattern. It's really a very helpful little handle for us thinking about how God operates in our lives. And it's very important to ask this question. Once you've got them in your mind, the vine, the worm, and the wind, which of these comes from God? That's a very important question. Which one comes from God? Because everyone's quick to say, well, the vine comes from God. But some of us are not so sure about the difficult things that happen in life and where God is in them. I want you to see the clear teaching of the Bible here in verse 6, 7, and 8. It really couldn't be more plain. Verse 6 of chapter 4, God provided the vine. And then you notice exactly the same phrase in chapter 4 and verse 7. Do you see it there? Who provided the worm? God provided the worms, clearly stated. And then just to make it absolutely plain, if you look in verse 8, notice exactly the same language. Who provided the scorching east wind? Answer, God provided the scorching east wind. It's the same word, and it's used 3 times in 3 verses because Jonah is teaching us this very important truth. He's saying, I want you to understand that God's hand was as much in the worm and the wind as in the vine. That God was working as much in the wind that brought affliction and pain and distress and in the worm that brought sorrow and loss and disappointment. He was working as much in them as he was in the vine that brought comfort, joy, and blessing. He provided all three. And they were all being used in God's sovereign purpose in Jonah's life. By the way, there is one more time that the word provided is used in the book of Jonah. One more thing that God provided, and it's the most obvious thing in the book of Jonah. What else did God provide at the beginning of the story? He provided the fish. That's it. It's the same word. You can check it out in chapter 1 and verse 17. The Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and it was in this way that Jonah, of course, was saved from drowning. So put these things together, and we're learning this truth, that the God who saved Jonah by providing a great fish, now sanctifies Jonah by providing a vine, a worm, and an east wind. It's the same word. By the way, we try to learn Bible words so that we know them when we see them in the Bible. And so it's good for us to know the words justification and sanctification. You can think of it this way. Justification is how God forgives us through Jesus. Sanctification is how God makes us like Jesus. The first is an event. The second is a process. We're talking here about our sanctification, that is, how God works in a believer's life to make us like Jesus. And what Jonah is discovering as one who was saved by God's wonderful provision at the beginning of the story, he is now being sanctified by God's amazing provision, and God sanctifies through gifts that bring you joy. He sanctifies through trials that bring you sorrow. He sanctifies through experiences that may bring you pain. He sanctifies through the vine and through the worm and through the wind. So Jonah wants us to know that God's hand is right in the middle of it. The fish is God's fish. The vine is God's vine. The worm is God's worm. And the east wind is God's east wind. Now, as we try to let that settle in our minds, that God, the New Testament puts it this way, God works in all things for the good, the ultimate good, the sanctification of those who love him, Romans 8:28. He works in the vine for that end, he works in the worm for that end, and he works through the wind for that end. Let's ask this question. I can see how God works through the vine, but how does God work? What does God do through the worm? What does God do through the wind? I want to suggest that you think about it this way, that God used the worm and the wind to save Jonah from a vine-centered life. And a person who lives a vine-centered life is a person who ends up loving God's gifts more than we love the one who gives the gift.
A reminder there from Pastor Colin Smith that we can be so focused on the gifts God has given us that we love the gifts more than the God who gives them. You've been listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Rejoice in God's Gifts as Though They Were Your Rights. It's part of the series, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. And if you miss any of the series or if you want to listen to any of our previous series, they're all available online at our website, openthebible.org.uk. Open the Bible is listened to by people up and down the country. I'm with Open the Bible's Executive Director, John Martin. John, what are listeners saying when they contact you?
Yes, so we get letters from all sorts of listeners, and some of those listeners are actually inmates around UK prisons. And it's wonderful to receive the news that they've been able to listen to the broadcast and they've been encouraged by it. We're pursuing a partnership with Daylight Christian Prison Trust. They have chaplains in a number of UK prisons, and they're keen to use good resources with those exploring faith and those seeking to grow in their faith. So we've talked with them about the possibility of getting the film Heaven, How I Got Here into as many of those prisons as possible, to give the chaplains the discussion guide, to supply the chaplains with the books or booklets. So we're trialling that now with the hope of creating a batch of DVDs of the film so they can easily take those in and share the good news that way. There are a number of prisoners around the UK who are really keen to learn more about the Christian faith. And so if we can give them courses that are accessible and appropriate for their setting, then we're very, very eager to do that.
To find out more about the work of Open the Bible, come to our website, openthebible.org.uk. Colin, the point you make about Jonah loving the vine, that's a picture of how we can take what God gives us as if we have a perfect right to it.
Yeah, well, the gifts of God so easily become the things that we value more than God himself. God causes your business to flourish, and then the business becomes the great thing in your life. God blesses your family, then the family becomes the great thing in your life. In Jonah's case, and for all of us in ministry in one way or another, God blesses the ministry, and then the ministry becomes a great thing.
So at the beginning of Jonah's story, God blessed Jonah's ministry, but then God took it away from him.
He's right back where he was. Isn't it amazing how little progress he's been made? Yeah. And he's every bit as much dependent on the grace of God in chapter 4 as he was in chapter 1. God is still gracious towards him. And it's the moments where God takes something away where we really come to the place of saying, is God really God in my life, or are God's gifts the things that are ultimate to me? And this is a defining moment for Jonah, and it's part of his great testimony to the grace of God.
So we'll continue this message in our next program. So I hope you'll join us for that. For Open the Bible, I'm Pastor Colin Smith, I'm David Pick, and I hope you'll join us again next time. Jonah was angry with God, but then the circumstances changed and he was very happy. Find out what happened to his anger next time on Open the Bible.